We're going to be reading an informational article called City Critters. Wild animals live in cities too. Follow along in your book as I read the article out loud. Remember to turn the page when you hear. Ready? City Critters. Wild animals live in cities too. By Richard Chivat. The city. Tall buildings. Shoppers with their arms full of packages. People hurrying along. Buses, cabs, cars. And wild animals. Wild animals? You bet. Cities and towns are filled with wildlife. Look at the picture on this page. These city ducks might cause a traffic jam. When most people think of wildlife, they think of grizzly bears or elk or white-tailed deer. But all the wild animals that live in a city are wildlife, including butterflies, ants, pigeons, and even rats, says Mike Matthews. He's a scientist who works for New York State, trying to protect its wildlife, both in the woods and in the cities. Why does a rat deserve to be called wildlife? Charles Nylon, a biologist for the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, explains, "Any animal that you see that is not a pet, that doesn't depend on people taking care of it, is a wild animal. Skyscraper geese, park raccoons." On the 10th floor of an office building in St. Louis, Missouri, is a nest of Canadian geese. They've been spending summers there for the past 6 years. Dave Tilka is an urban biologist, a scientist who studies wildlife in cities. He talked about the skyscraper geese. "There's a type of Canadian geese that nest on cliffs over the Mississippi River," he said. "These particular geese must have thought that a balcony looked like a good cliff to nest on." If geese on an office building sound strange, how about raccoons in the heart of New York City? Mike Matthews says they live in sewers, in buildings, and especially in New York's Central Park. People think that animals want to be near trees or open spaces, but raccoons will live in chimneys and sewers. Look at the picture on this page. Raccoons live in sewers and parks. They find food in garbage cans. Bird's eye view. According to Matthews, city parks are great places to go bird watching, especially in the early spring and fall. They're like islands of green space where migrating birds will stop, he says. When Mike Matthews talks about birds, he doesn't just mean city birds like sparrows, starlings, and pigeons. There's much, much more, he says. In the city limits, there are great blue herons, owls, and all sorts of water birds. Even a bald eagle will visit from time to time. You might think these creatures would try to avoid cities. Not so, says Matthews. Animals will live wherever they can find food, shelter, and a place to raise their young. Look at the picture on this page. A streetlight makes a good perch for this eagle. Scientists' helpers. Scientists can learn a lot about a city by studying the wild animals that live there. If you're concerned about pollution or waste, looking at wildlife is one way to learn about it, says Charles Nylon, the Kansas biologist. For example, in Florida, scientists studied squirrels that lived by highways. The scientists wanted to find out how the squirrels had been affected by breathing car exhaust. Because they breathe the fumes all day, any health problems will show up in squirrels before they show up in humans. Look at the picture on this page. Squirrels and chipmunks are common wildlife in cities. This chipmunk is stealing some birdseed from a window ledge. Sometimes, very rare animals can survive well in cities. Take the peregrine falcon. This bird had almost disappeared in the eastern United States. About 15 years ago, scientists began trying to save the peregrine falcon by raising baby falcons in laboratories and releasing them in the wild. Today, the bird is making a comeback, and several falcons have come back to nest in the middle of big cities. There, they've found just the right kinds of shelter and food. They rest on skyscraper cliffs, and they hunt city birds, pigeons and starlings. Home, sweet city home. Not all animals find city homes as easily as falcons have. That's why scientists create and protect special animal habitats, spots with the right amounts of water and food, and the kinds of trees and plants an animal needs to survive. At the Gateway National Recreation Area in New York City, scientists have set aside a small grasslands habitat, a flat, open field. Don Reap, a scientist at Gateway, explained why. Grasslands are vanishing because they're used for homes, shopping malls, and other developments. But it's an important habitat for animals like the upland sandpiper, the meadowlark, and the short-eared owl. Our grasslands area is a home to all these birds. Scientists in Des Moines, Iowa, built a different kind of habitat, a garden that grows goodies for butterflies. It's in the state fairgrounds. We planted a garden designed to attract 40 different species of butterflies, says Laura Jackson, an Iowa biologist. The idea is to show people how they can attract butterflies to their backyards by planting the right flowers and plants. Look at the picture on this page. Deer are moving closer to cities. Some have been spotted in city parks. Do it yourself. Most people don't see the wild animals all around them because they don't know what to look for. Stephen Petland, a biologist in Seattle, Washington, says careful observation and a look at a few bird and animal guides can make the difference. In one neighborhood in Seattle, over the course of a year, I might be able to find 40 or 50 different types of birds, notes Petland. You don't have to be a scientist to study wildlife in cities or towns. Just keep an eagle eye when you're playing in your yard, your playground, or your neighborhood park. And when you're walking down the street, don't forget, watch out for wild animals. And that's the end of the article.